This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Hey, sports fans, it's Mason Crosby.
And Reese Crosby.
If you enjoy football, football,
be sure to check out Kicking It with the Crosbys. New episodes drop every Tuesday and Thursday.
Subscribe on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Kale and Company, weekday mornings, 6 till 10.
Philadelphia police say a man is fighting for his life this morning after getting shot in the stomach. This happened in the Frankford section of Philadelphia early in the wee hours of this morning. Meadow Street, Frankford Ave, and Meadow Street police were able to rush this victim to Temple University Hospital, and so detectives searching for a shooter in the situation. But this, I believe, the man, they've said, is, they're not releasing his name, 30 years old. So we'll get more details as that is happening, a developing story that's happening just this morning. Also, it's day two of the strike that we've been following. Something that was not brought up in last night's Veep debate, so not sure why, but you would think it was a major breaking story involving 45,000 union members on the East Coast and in the Gulf, including here in Philadelphia and all of our East Coast ports as well as Gulf Coast, 45,000 in total. Not brought up last night, but day two of the strike that certainly could cost us, they say, billions of dollars if this thing proceeds on for more than a week.
Yeah, that's a total violation out of CBS not to bring that up. By my tracker, as I was tracking the topics in order, it was Iran-Israel 1, the border 2.
No, climate change was 2.
That's right, yes.
Climate change, Nick.
Climate change. And then it was, what, border and then hurricane? Or hurricane, then border?
Border and then hurricane.
Yeah.
And then they got to the economy 4, which was... I thought the economy would have been a perfect spot right there as like a subset to go labor strike, right? Oh.
With the breaking news with Iran, you know why that.
Yes,
that
I totally get that.
Question. Yes,
absolutely.
But we kicked around on the show yesterday whether they would bring it up, and we all agreed that I'm sure they would because it was a huge story yesterday.
The story that just broke.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I would have liked to have heard both people try to, you know, dissect and break that down and spin it, because you have, you know, obviously the labor unions, and there's a divide, right? 6 out of 10 workers are basically with Trump, yet the bosses want to ride with Harris and endorse the Democrats. So I would have liked to have seen both combatants yesterday try to eloquently break that down.
By the way, the president of that labor union was on TV yesterday. Boy, he's an unlikable schmuck.
Oh, boy.
God, is he terrible.
You don't appreciate us until it's too late. Uh-huh.
So despite opposition from community members, several council members, and the mayor of the Collingdale Borough Council voting last night, and this is a surprise to many if you're just waking up, to hire a new police chief. So pending a background check, they haven't done the full background check yet, the new chief of police in Collingdale will be Shani Mitchell. So according to her application for the job, she currently serves as the police chief in Sellingsgrove Borough. This is Snyder County, as an adjunct instructor for the Penn State Justice and Safety Institute. I believe she has a background. I think at one point she also worked for Philadelphia Police. But this was a surprising turn of events. Council said that another candidate who was under investigation that we talked about in the past, no longer a candidate for the job, proposed to vote to hire Shani Mitchell. And okay. So Collingdale Mayor Donna Mateo Spadia, she said that a couple of other council members were taken by surprise by this decision. So some late breaking news on that one. But this is pending the background check. Shani Mitchell is now Chief Mitchell for now.
You know,
Collingdale Borough Council.
You know my thoughts on this. I have no problem with anybody getting a job if they are the best and most qualified. I don't care what your race, your gender, who you sleep with, what you're into behind closed doors, as long as you kick ass, take names, and you're the best for the job. And by the way, what's your policies? Are you going to be tough on crime?
Yeah.
Or are we going to continue on with the charade of the last 4 years?
So that's the story of the police chief drama. We've just been following this for you from Philadelphia suburb, Delaware County, Delco. So they're all saying they're really blindsided by this one. So we'll await that background check. So much in the news this morning. We want to get to Nick's big take. Obviously, I'll leave out of it last night's Veep debate because I know that we'll talk a lot about that. So here's the thing. I will get to our Philadelphia Phillies because we do have some news on the Phils front. We are locked in as the number 2 seed, clinching obviously the first round bye, as you know, home field advantage in that best of 5 National League Division Series. So game 1, and we have some details here. Game 1 of the series starts this Saturday, October 5th, Citizens Bank Park. Phillies will play the winner of the wild card series, okay, that's going on between the New York Mets, which is the number 6 seed, Milwaukee Brewers is the number 3, they're the number 3 seed. So wild card schedule finalized Monday. We told you this after the Mets and Braves split that doubleheader game for both teams to advance. And so the deal is it's game 1 this Saturday, 4:08 p.m. That's CBP. And then game 2 is Sunday, same time, 4:08 p.m. That's also CBP. So we know now you can lock in your schedule.
Yeah.
Games 1 and 2 home, 4:08. I'm sure that everybody will get there much sooner. The festivities begin this weekend. And then obviously for game 3, heading to the opposing team's ballpark,
yeah,
for games 3 and 4, etc.
Selfishly, here's my concern, because yeah, I do not have my old 2 TV set up yet until we get to our dream home, hopefully next summer. 4:07 doesn't work for me. I think the Trump rally is at 5 o'clock, isn't it?
Yeah.
I see. I was hoping the Trump rally would be at 7 or at 5, and the Phillies would be in prime time at 8 so I could watch the whole Butler PA rally and then get to baseball. Now I'm going to have to DVR one and flip back and forth.
Call what's his name and say you don't like these times.
Yeah, where's Brazier?
Where's John Brazier?
Get Brazier in here. Get TBS television executives or whoever's airing this thing.
By the way, the Mets won last night. So,
yeah.
Won pretty decisively against the Milwaukee Brewers.
It's looking...
Yep. They have the hot hand right now.
Three of the 4 underdogs won last night. The only favorite to win was the Padres beating the Braves. Just saying, Phillies fans,
yep,
the lesser team can get hot in these little series and can cool you off real quick.
Yep.
Be careful.
So, and by the way, you said cool off. The weekend forecast, we've been watching the forecast very carefully. So if you look at the forecast, we're mid-70s and bright sunny skies. So a gorgeous weekend, whether you're in Butler, Pennsylvania, for Trump returning to Pennsylvania to honor Corey Comparator, our slain fire chief in that assassination attempt, or whether you're here celebrating the Phils or just hanging out, doing some football, whatever, yard work. It's going to be a gorgeous weekend ahead. I'll also point out to you, I know that you mentioned earlier, we talked about earlier, the fact that Iran had launched at least 180 missiles at Israel, causing some scattered damage and fires. Obviously, they have that dome, the Iron Dome, which protected them mostly. So Israel's not reporting injuries. But I will say this is timed as well, because this evening, we begin, a lot of schools are off today and or tomorrow, because this is the Jewish New Year.
Yeah.
And so no question in many people's minds that this was timed to do this missile launch right ahead of the celebrations.
Yeah. What's so frustrating about this is you have Iran who's attempting to assassinate Donald Trump. And, of course, we had Trump back on in May. And he said, I don't know how anybody that's Jewish can vote Democrat. You'd have to have your head examined. And, again, I continue to bring this up. You know, it's not just a Trump talking point. You talk about the Abraham Accords, the embassy, everything that he did, the stability over there. How in the world can any Democrat Jew historically vote for this administration over Trump is staggering to me. Ari Fleischer was on Fox yesterday. He said that he thinks Pennsylvania could be decided by which way the Jewish vote goes. Now, obviously, the Jewish vote's going to go Democrat. But to what extent? In a razor-thin election, you know, if Trump gets down 3% more than he would, you know, in a non-wartime, that might be enough for him to win Pennsylvania. Very interesting.
Yeah, and I wonder what, I would love to hear Josh Shapiro's take on last night's, Pennsylvania Governor Josh Shapiro's take on last night's debate performance as well.
There's no doubt in my mind it would have been a much more competitive debate with Shapiro instead of Mr. Potato Head.
Amen, brother. Hey, so today for your Wednesday, 72 degrees, partly sunny. For tomorrow, Thursday, which as I say, beginning of Rosh Hashanah, and the Jewish New Year tomorrow evening. And so that's why many schools are off tomorrow and Friday. Tomorrow for the Jewish New Year beginning, 76 degrees and mostly sunny day. Friday, partly sunny. We pop up to 79 degrees for your Friday and a taste of summer for Saturday, 79 degrees, partly sunny skies. Sunday, 77. Hardly any clouds in the sky. Bright sunny day, 77 for your Sunday. So that's our forecast. Sponsored by American Dental Implant and Lumineer Center. Improve your smile with Lumineers. Dr. Heinbaugh of the American Dental Implant and Lumineer Center is the area's only certified Lumineers dentist. Get a dynamite smile. No grinding, shots, or pain. Visit myspringfielddentist.com. MySpringfieldDentist.com, American Dental Implant and Lumineers Center. Thank you for sponsoring our first edition this Wednesday morning, Kale & Company News Live.
All right, Dawn, thank you very much. 6:16 Wednesday morning. Let's get to a midweek big take.
The Big Take on Kale & Company.
And it's brought to you by Wawa. Vance's victory Tuesday, October 1st, prior to the debate, was quite the interesting spin cycle from the mainstream media throughout the day. Politico with the following headline. Quote, Tim Walz is not known as a gifted debater. Behind closed doors, the folksy, fun-loving governor can be overly defensive when confronted about his mistakes, according to fellow Minnesota Democrats. Yikes. Well, as we know, the left loves to devour their own, and it was almost like they were lowering the expectations for their guy. Defensive when confronted about mistakes? Sounds like a fraud with a temper. But I'm sure as long as he continues to wave like Richard Simmons before an exercise video, Americans will fall for that big sack of potatoes. Then Politico with another headline that actually gave J.D. Vance a tip of the cap, while, of course, taking a swipe at Donald Trump. The headline read yesterday, unlike Donald Trump, J.D. Vance stays relentlessly on message and is known as an agile debater. That was actually very accurate if you watched the debate last night. But how about this one? Yesterday before the debate, according to CNN, quote, there was concern within the Harris-Walz administration that his team wanted common sense indignation to come across, according to several in the know. Their worry was that Vance is going to eviscerate the governor's hand-to-his-heart dad joke persona and make Walz come across as either a moron or a raging bull or even an out-of-whack liberal vouching for another out-of-whack liberal. His team, their words, courtesy of CNN, not mine. So how did things go? 9 p.m. last night, we were off to the races with the final face-to-face moments between the two parties as debate season 2024 comes to a close. J.D. Vance, Tim Walz, last night in the CBS News studios in New York City for the vice president debate. Remember, there was no audience last night. There was hot mics, a battle of two everyday men with Midwestern values and military backgrounds as both Donald Trump and Kamala Harris try to balance out their respective tickets. Well, who won? How were the two female CBS moderators? Did Nora O'Donnell and Margaret Brennan act as impartial referees? What about the fact-checking, which was the main issue with the ABC News debate? Let's break it down. Here's my top three takeaways. The Middle East turmoil was the first issue of the night, in light of what transpired earlier in the day with Iran attacking Israel. Tim Walz was first to answer that opening topic. His answer was choppy. He was confused, a little nervous. seemed like he was very inexperienced. J.D. Vance, on the other hand, well, you determine. Listen and watch this clip.
I want to actually give an introduction to myself a little bit because I recognize a lot of Americans don't know who either one of us are. I was raised in a working class family. My mother required food assistance for periods of her life. My grandmother required Social Security help to raise me, and she raised me in part because my own mother struggled with addiction for a big chunk of my early life. I went to college on the GI Bill after I enlisted in the Marine Corps and served in Iraq. And so I stand here asking to be your vice president with extraordinary gratitude for this country, for the American dream that made it possible for me to live my dreams. And most importantly, I know that a lot of you are worried about the chaos in the world and the feeling that the American dream is unattainable. I want to try to convince you tonight over the next 90 minutes that if we get better leadership in the White House, if we get Donald Trump back in the White House, the American dream is going to be attainable once again. Now, to answer this particular question, we have to remember that as much as Governor Waltz just accused Donald Trump of being an agent of chaos, Donald Trump actually delivered stability in the world, and he did it by establishing effective deterrence. People were afraid of stepping out of line. Iran, which launched this attack, has received over $100 billion in unfrozen assets thanks to the Kamala Harris administration. What do they use that money for? They use it to buy weapons that they're now launching against our allies, and God forbid, potentially launching against the United States as well. Donald Trump recognized that for people to fear the United States, you needed peace through strength. They needed to recognize that if they got out of line, the United States global leadership would put stability and peace back in the world. Now, you asked about a preemptive strike, Margaret, and I want to answer the question. Look, it is up to Israel what they think they need to do to keep their country safe, and we should support our allies wherever they are when they're fighting the bad guys. I think that's the right approach to take with the Israel question.
Look how smooth that was. You had a dig at Kamala with the working class family growing up. He didn't even drop a sly little smile or smirk when he did that. Did you pick up on that? Then JD goes into the substance of his answer pertaining to the original question. To summarize it, F-A-F-O. If you F around, you will find out. Peace through strength. They know Joe's weak. They know Kamala is weak. That's why all of this is happening in the last 2.5 or 3 years. Double win for J.D. Vance. Super smart, polished, crisp. J.D. Vance is as cool as a cucumber. And all of the turmoil, war, and dysfunction under Joe and Kamala's watch. Because Donald Trump ruled with an iron fist. Peace through strength, peace and prosperity. Next up, the border. The broken border under border czar Kamala Harris. How did the freshman senator from Ohio handle the crisis? Listen and watch this.
You've got to reimplement Donald Trump's border policies, build the wall, reimplement deportations. And that gets me to your point, Margaret, about what do we actually do? So we've got 20, 25 million illegal aliens who are here in the country. What do we do with them? I think the first thing that we do is we start with the criminal migrants. About 1 million of those people have committed some form of crime in addition to crossing the border illegally. I think you start with deportations on those folks. And then I think you make it harder for illegal aliens to undercut the wages of American workers. A lot of people will go home if they can't work for less than minimum wage in our own country. And by the way, that'll be really good for our workers who just want to earn a fair wage for doing a good day's work. And the final point, Margaret, is you ask about family separation. Right now in this country, Margaret, we have 320,000 children that the Department of Homeland Security has effectively lost. Some of them have been sex trafficked. Some of them hopefully are at homes with their families. Some of them have been used as drug trafficking mules. The real family separation policy in this country is unfortunately Kamala Harris's wide open southern border. And I'd ask my fellow Americans to remember when she came into office, she said she was going to do this. Real leadership would be saying, you know what? I screwed up. We're going to go back to Donald Trump's border policies. I wish that she would do that. It would be good for all of us.
J.D. Vance is a stone cold natural killer on the debate stage. And he does it by not being combative. He's not confrontational. He doesn't word salad his way around searching for ways to evade the question. He doesn't look for the answers up in the heavens. He's just ready to go. He's everything that Harris and Walz are not. He's a natural. He's the total opposite of Trump in all reality. Trump is very bombastic. He's a showman. Yes, he got results, but look at the even-keeled nature. This is a guy who's done over 65 mainstream media interviews since the summer. he was conditioned for months to prepare for the moment last night, and I think he aced it. And now you see why Donald Trump has named him his running mate. He's actually a lot like DeSantis without the annoying voice and the abrasive nature, if you compare the two side by side. And lastly, the most important issue, the economy. J.D. Vance on the facts about what Trump did in his 4 years for your bottom line. Listen and watch this.
If you notice, what Governor Waltz just did is he said, first of all, Donald Trump has to listen to the experts. And then when he acknowledged that the experts screwed up, he said, well, Donald Trump didn't do nearly as good of a job as the statistics
show. No, that's a gross generalization.
That he did. So what Tim Waltz is doing, and I honestly, Tim, I think you got a tough job here, because you've got to play whack-a-mole. You've got to pretend that Donald Trump didn't deliver rising take-home pay, which of course he did. You've got to pretend that Donald Trump didn't deliver lower inflation, which of course he did. And then you've simultaneously got to defend Kamala Harris's atrocious economic record, which has made gas, groceries, and housing unaffordable for American citizens. I was raised by a woman who would sometimes go into medical debt so that she could put food on the table in our household. I know what it's like to not be able to afford the things that you need to afford. We can do so much better. To all of you watching, we can get back to an America that's affordable again. We just got to get back to common sense economic principles.
Did you notice the style throughout the night? Many times J.D. Vance was complimentary to Tim Walz while politely annihilating him and Kamala Harris. It was really debate 101, and he nailed it. Kitchen table issues should be easy to elaborate on. I thought Vance laid that out perfectly. And in conclusion, last night we saw a man with a law degree from the Ivy Leagues up against the public school teacher who prides himself on saying, none of my students ever went to the Ivy League schools. You saw a rump roast against filet mignon. You saw two everyday middle America men, but only one that looks truly ready for the moment. Dare I say, in the future, in the short-term future, presidential material. That was J.D. Vance last night, folks. That's the big take.
The Big Take on Kale and Company.
And it is brought to you by Wawa. Wawa has classic hoagies for just $6. Whether it's cheesesteaks, meatball, or Italian, you can get any of the classics for just $6 because you got to have a Wawa. 855-839-1210. If you want to jump in, all of your thoughts and reaction from the debate last night, as well as what is going on in the Middle East. We'll break it all down this morning as we continue. Nick, Dawn, and Greg, it's Kale and Company on a Wednesday morning on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. But first, a word from my friends at the Piazza Auto Group. And you've heard me talk a while now about the Mazda CX-30, courtesy of my friends at Piazza Mazda. But did you know that they have an extensive crossover and SUV lineup between the sleek CX-5, the capable CX-50, or how about this? Oh, yeah, that three-row CX-90. It's the big one in the family. And now, the all-new CX-70. There's something for every lifestyle. Piazza Mazda of Westchester and Reading will help you find the one that is right for you with financing as low as 0% for 36 months. Visit Piazza Mazda in Westchester and Reading for a personalized test drive or shop online at PiazzaMazda.com.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast.
This is the Kale and Company podcast from Talk Radio 1210 WPHD and on the free Odyssey app.
Dawn Stensland, your takeaways, observations, reactions, all of the generic questions you ask, like a lame headline on MSNBC.com. Dawn, what were your top five takeaways from last night?
My top, number one, the moderators suck. They sucked.
Yeah, they are pretty bad.
They were just an embarrassing non-presence. Nora O'Donnell with her little climate change commentary as the number two, and she took a tragedy, an historic storm that has swept through and devastated six states in our nation, and that is deadly, and the death toll is rising. They're searching for bodies as we speak. And to spin that deadly historic storm where people are in crisis, they don't have power, they're trying to rush supplies to them and food, and to spin that into climate change.
But kudos to JD. He spun it right back with a great answer on clean energy, right?
He did.
You know, making it an America first thing. It's much dirtier in these other countries. Yeah, I thought he was great. He's like, well, look, we all want cleaner water and cleaner air, and here's how we do it. He was prepared for that. He was, I'm telling you, he was very bright. But to your point, yes, what a disgrace. I don't think they were as bad as ABC, but they clearly were not as good as CNN.
They're just like puppets. And you could tell from the first 30 seconds of it where there was obviously a technical glitch. They didn't know who to go to.
Right.
And Margaret Brennan was just sitting there dead, nodding her head.
I know.
I'm like, you dumb puppet, say something.
Yeah.
Say something.
Yep.
This is TV.
Yes.
Like, I'm so tired of these stiff wooden, like, and let's, over to you, how do you think, like, just have a conversation.
Yep.
Just have a conversation.
You're
throw
right.
out the questions. Let them debate.
Yep.
And then be done with it.
I've got a follow-up to what Dawn is talking about with the moderators, but continue, Dawn. I'll get to that in a little bit.
Yeah, so the bottom line is they were robotic. I mean, we talk about AI. They make the case that AI would have been better. you know what I mean? It was embarrassing.
Yep.
As far as J.D. Vance, I thought, hands down, I thought that most notably, he has been painted as some monster. He's a bad guy. Oh, he's extreme. He's the boogeyman, whatever. He was so compassionate, and so he just exuded this warmth. And there were points where, you know, Tim Walz talked about the fact that his 17-year-old son apparently witnessed some kind of a gunman at a community center. And every time Tim Walz was bringing up something, whether it was his own son or whether it was Tim Walz bringing up different women impacted by the abortion issue, And Tim Walz was bringing up these names as of different people to sort of humanize the issue in a memorized, he had memorized this.
Mm-hmm.
When you went to J.D. Vance, first of all, he said, Tim, I wasn't aware that your 17-year-old son, I'm so sorry that happened.
Mm-hmm.
When Tim Walz talked about a woman named Amber who suffered sepsis, and, you know, during a botched abortion and was bleeding or whatever, she needed a procedure, had to travel 600 miles and died. J.D. Vance said, Amber should be alive today. He was so compassionate, and that's normal. If somebody told you a story about somebody going 600 miles because of whatever happened with these stupid doctors who didn't save a woman's life, which I always question these stories, but the human reaction is, oh, OMG, that's horrible.
Yep.
So he was just so human and normal
in
those reactions and just compassionate.
Yep.
And even with the abortion issue in general, because obviously he is someone who is a pro-life person through and through. When he stated, hey, Republicans need to do better on this issue and we need to listen, again, it was just human. It was fantastic. And so there were some issues where he was able to, yes, turn that around and explain the context for everything. I would submit to you, in many instances, when he explained energy, when he explained the economy, when he explained the Trump plan to turn around the economy, I thought he actually did it in many cases, better than Trump does.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I look, there was just so many moments last night where J.D. Vance, at just barely 40 years old, came off like the polished veteran. And 60-year-old Tim Walz looked like a guy who was in over his head. And my wife even said to me, because she actually tolerated the first 35 or 40 minutes of it, and you know, she texted me, she goes, "This guy's the governor of Minnesota?" I said, "Yeah, I wouldn't trust this guy if he was the commissioner of Bluebell." Like, he just seems like a guy that's way in over his head for the title that he has. And I'm sitting there, and I actually said this to myself, just like mumbling. I'm like, man, thank God Kamala Harris did not select Josh Shapiro. Because you want to talk about a really great battle of wits and personality meets substance. You would have had J.D. Vance and Josh Shapiro. We'd be arguing all morning long over who won. It probably would have came down to a coin flip. This, to me, was a unanimous TKO where every single judge out there with their scorecard should be saying J.D. Vance won. Now, does it matter? Does it have any impact on November 5th? That's the ultimate question. I don't know that it does. I'd like to think that it does. But if you were one of these people that were kind of on the fence last night and maybe leaning towards Trump, but you're of the belief that I just can't deal with the drama, I'm tired of the name calling. Again, all the stuff that doesn't bother me that turns some people off. Maybe you sat there and you said, boy, I'll tell you what. You know, maybe Trump did get me results. I'll just block out the noise for 4 years. And maybe that's the guy that America needs for another 4 years or another 8 years. And I said this in the big take, and this is not to be a, this is because, you know, you got the pro DeSantis crowd, and I'm still a DeSantis fan. But this is where I think Vance is a little bit better than DeSantis. DeSantis and Vance are both Ivy League guys, great speakers, I think can get things done and accomplished. But, the you know, DeSantis is a little bombastic. Like, remember, he was like the Diet Coke to Trump's Coke is what Piers Morgan called him. And the grating voice is a little annoying. I mean, it, like, J.D. Vance, tell me last night, how great would, and this is an idea, how great would J.D. Vance be for Pints and Politics? Could you imagine J.D. Vance sitting out on a stage with either Rich or Dom or Dawn and myself and just talking about stories? J.D. Vance is a storyteller. I think Trump is a good storyteller, but I said this months ago when we were looking for a vice president. Remember, we had the Veep sweeps, and it was, well, is it Byron Donalds? Well, he has to move out of Florida. Can't have two guys from the same state. And we said, give me somebody the opposite of Trump that's a great storyteller. J.D. Vance is a storyteller. And there's no doubt. Think about that. Go back to the beginning of last night. The first topic was the Middle East. And he got to the answer. He got to the substance. But what did he do? He said, you know what? He thought like a brand manager in radio that just puts together a new show. Hey, nobody knows who the hell you are. Why don't you introduce yourself? He introduced himself to America, and he did it while still taking a, I believe, scripted, deliberate swipe at Kamala Harris. He dropped the middle class, working class line. He took her line and shoved it right up where the sun doesn't shine. I thought that was brilliant last night. And he wasn't looking for a rim shot or any acknowledgement. He just weaved it in there seamlessly. I'm telling you, he came up roses. He came up aces last night, I think.
Yeah, I think that it's, first of all, you saw the J.D. Vance. If you read the book, Hillbilly Elegy, if you watched the movie, then you saw this piece of his personality. He's a great writer. You saw his humanity. You saw how humble he is, but at the same time, he went on to go to Yale Law School. And you saw the Yale debate team or whatever he was on. Mm-hmm. So you saw all of that. And so his humility and his common sense way of explaining things was brilliant. So I think that for J.D. Vance, he made advances, in my humble opinion, with women and just with people who would want to watch that and say, well, geez, this guy, he explained these things. He was kind. He mm-hmm. was respectful, extremely respectful, likable. They shook hands after.
Yeah.
So I thought that he by just being himself, refuted any of that. I will say that as far as the moderators, at one point when he was trying to explain after the Ohio situation, talking about the Haitian migrant situation there,
yep.
they actually clipped his mic.
I know, that was so infuriating.
That was a very bad moment. They yep. were doing, to me, it was truly three against one with yep. J.D. Vance. He still won the debate.
Yep.
And as far as, and I'll just say this because I've said it before, anybody can look up the Born Alive Infants Protection Act, Born Alive Infants Protection Act, which up until 2023, up until a year ago, was a law in Minnesota, mm-hmm. Born Alive Infants Protection Act.
Yep.
Okay. So it said that no matter what the instance, if a baby is born alive, that you must do everything in your power as a physician, nurse, medical professional to then treat that baby mm-hmm. and save that baby and treat them. In 2023, a year ago, Governor Tim Walz signed into law the repeal of the Born Alive Infants Protection Act. J.D. Vance correctly quoted that act, which says that even during a botched procedure of an abortion, if that newborn is born alive, that doctors can lift their hands and not do anything. That is what it says. You can look it up yourself. It is a law in Minnesota. But what you can no longer look up is how many times does that happen?
Mm-hmm.
Because within the law, it states that the Minnesota Department of Health no longer must report how many times that happens. So the last time that it happened, we know there were six. There were six babies born alive after a botched abortion procedure in Minnesota, and the doctors just didn't have to do anything, and that resulted in the death of the infant. That was the last time they reported it. Now they don't have to report the stats. And so my question is, with this, why is it that the news media is so interested in just not saying what it is? I mm-hmm. mean, who's the comedian? Bill Burr.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? He says, hey, look, you have the right. You have pro-choice. You have the right to do what you got to do. But they don't want to say what this is. And right. My question is, why?
Yeah.
It's in the law.
Yep.
Read the law.
Well, there's a clip out there from CNN last night in their post-debate analysis where CNN tried to go down the road you're going. I don't know, Phil, if maybe you can find it, but Scott Jennings, the former Bush administration official, the Republican on the CNN panel, absolutely torched them and fact-checked them on all of that. So that's great. You know, you talk about moderator malpractice. You mentioned climate change with the hurricane, with the crisis going on in the South. That was great from you to highlight that. Also, the muting of the microphones, which we were told would not happen, and the fact-checking, where that was the second instance of moderator malpractice. I want to go to the third one, and this really got under my skin with the way, I don't know if it was Nora or Margaret that asked the question, but it was in regards to the border and the way these questions are worded. I thought this came off a loaded question to tug at heartstrings, as opposed to just getting down to, as what Kamala Harris would say, is the root cause of the problem. I believe we have this question. This is the one that I have an issue with. Let's play this question.
Senator Vance, your campaign is pledging to carry out the largest mass deportation plan in American history and to use the U.S. military to do so. Could you be more specific about exactly how this will work? For example, would you deport parents who have entered the U.S. illegally and separate them from any of their children who were born on U.S. soil? You have 2 minutes.
So I have no problem with the first half. The second half, with where it begins of, for example, would you deport parents that are here illegally, even though they have had children here that are legal residents? I don't know if I'm overreacting, but Dawn, to me, that is, you're seeing the bias and you're getting a slant of, hey, let's try to tug at heartstrings here of, oh my God, God forbid we deport a parent who broke the law, but, you know, had a child here legally, and God forbid you separate parent from child, presumably an infant or a toddler. To me, the question is very simple. You give out the numbers, 15 million, whatever that number is. And I have no problem with the first half. Mass deportation. How do you plan to implement that? Do you plan to finish the wall? You can frame it a million ways. And that's the avenue she decided to take. Mm-hmm. That shows the lack of impartiality.
Yeah. Every question pretty much was framed in that way. You know, would you separate?
Right.
Would you separate them? And think about this, that they they chose, those moderators chose, not to bring up a major strike here on the East Coast and in the Gulf of, Gulf of Mexico, impacting 45,000 union workers, including here in Philadelphia, and included, so you include the union workers and their families impacted by this, but the rest of the country impacted by this, because these are the people who are the dock workers, for example, the union that unloads all the stuff so that it can then travel to our homes and could have a massive impact on our economy and every single American. They chose not to ask a question about that breaking news story that just, the strikes just started yesterday, but instead, they chose to talk about something that happened, you know, more than 3.8 years ago, January 6th.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So they chose January 6th over a major breaking story that impacts every single American and, you know, tens of thousands of union workers. That's their bias.
Phil, can you cue up cut 8 here? This is to your point, Nick. She asked the first half of the question and then asked the, you know, the second part of the question, which was, you know, separating the mothers from their children. Vance went in and answered, didn't answer that question. She went back and asked a second time.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. This is cut 8, Phil, if you have this. Can you roll it?
The question was, will you separate parents from their children, even if their kids are U.S. citizens? You have 1 minute.
Margaret, my point is that we already have massive child separations thanks to Kamala Harris's open border. And I didn't accuse Kamala Harris of inviting drug mules. I said that she enabled the Mexican drug cartels to operate freely in this country. And we know that they use children as drug mules. And it is a disgrace. And it has to stop. Look, I think what Tim said just doesn't pass the smell test. For 3 years, Kamala Harris went out bragging that she was going to undo Donald Trump's border policy. She did exactly that. We had a record number of illegal crossings. We had a record number of fentanyl coming into our country. And now that she's running for president, or a few months before, she says that somehow she got religion and cared a lot about a piece of legislation. The only thing that she did when she became the vice president, when she became the appointed border czar, was to undo 94 Donald Trump executive actions that opened the border. This problem is leading to massive problems in the United States of America. Parents who can't afford health care, schools that are overwhelmed. It's got to stop, and it will when Donald Trump is president.
Senator,
again,
your time is up.
And here's the reality. Here's how I would have answered it. The reality is you don't have to worry about that unfathomable scenario of parent separated from child if parent doesn't come here and break the law and enter illegally with the assistance of our elected leaders and our non-elected bureaucrats that allow this to happen. We don't have to get to B if we don't allow A, right? Like, it's just simple, like, logic right there. It's just so frustrating. You're right. And which one is the one on the way out that's not getting their contract renewed?
Nora.
Yeah. She was the one on the left, right?
By the way,
she's the one in blue.
They look kind of identical. I'm not trying to say, Dawn, that all middle-aged women look the same. Oh, that would be sexist.
All white women.
But all white women look the same.
They
kind of... I know, you know, because I follow this stuff closely, I know who those two are, and I was like, wait, which one is that?
Yeah. Yeah. Low energy. Just get off my television.
The whole debate last night to me was just very... I don't know. I agree. J.D. Vance won that debate last night, but
yeah.
I don't...
But I do think it was refreshing to see the different tone of the setting, right?
I can almost guarantee you that most people didn't get through 20 minutes of that debate.
But you know what, then? Okay, so here's my problem with that, then.
Yeah.
For all of the people that are, oh, I'm so tired of the dog and pony show and the theater and the wrestling.
They're really not.
Okay, so
really not.
You got substance last night and you're still not happy. That's like somebody listening to a radio show saying, I want an entertainer. And then you get an entertainer and you say, oh, I want nuts and bolts. And then you get nuts and bolts and you're like, oh, I'm so bored with this show. Well, which one do you want? You get both here on this show, but I'm just saying. Here's my thing with the headlines and the takeaways. This is what I said to Dawn in the beginning of the show. CNN.com, front page, takeaways from the Vance Walls debate. By the way, split screen, dual headlines next to Israel and Iran. ABCNews.com, fact-checking Tim Walls and J.D. Vance's VP debate. CBS News, VP debate highlights from the Walls-Vance showdown. MSNBC, Walls and Vance clash over immigration, abortion, and Trump. Not one of those networks right there with a pro-Vance headline, because Vance won, nor did they try to spin Tim Walls winning. And I go back to what I said, and I checked all the websites this morning, and I had to see Politico. It's a site we use a lot. You know, to their credit, they do have some good writers, even though I might disagree with the slant. Politico's headline, it was a very Midwestern debate, and Vance won. That, I mean, if I was in a coma last night, and I got home from the hospital at 3 in the morning, and I didn't know the debate happened, and I was trying to get a recap, and I saw Politico, I'd be like, okay, Vance won.
I don't know if it changed minds, though, because here's the thing. Might you guys can say what you want to, but but according to polls, Vance is very unliked in this country. Yep. Very unliked.
Because the media, because of the way the media has
I'm just telling you that he's very unliked.
Yep.
So did that change people's minds, or did he come across a little too slick and polished and know all the answers?
It's a good question, because now he's totally different than Vivek Ramaswamy. But remember what I've said many, many, many times, especially during the whole primary season. I said, Vivek almost seems too good to be true, doesn't he? Sounds like a guy that's got everything memorized in a different way, because Kamala Harris is a memorizer as well, although she just doesn't relay what she memorizes well. You know, Vivek's got it all figured out, right? Vance is the same way. But I think, I will say this, I think Vance comes off, and I know we have a lot of Vivek fans, and I'm a Vivek fan as well. I think Vance is more authentic than Vivek.
Vance is
more, Vance more than I do Vivek.
Yeah.
And I like Vivek.
Well, here's the last night they all, like, both him and Walls talk so fast. And it's just like, I know they were under time constraints, but you're kind of watching that, you're like, I don't know what he just said.
Really?
And maybe yes.
Watched the whole thing. I watched the whole thing live.
Yep.
I did not think that my takeaway from it was both of them were extremely respectful.
Yes.
And there was a warmth between them.
Agreed. And at the end, by the way, did you see they both
talked?
They brought their wives in. Yeah. They introduced their wives to one another. Yep. It was kind of refreshing to see.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
But I thought J.D. Vance, to watch it live, I thought that I didn't think he came across as slick. I actually thought that what takes you back is how human he is, how compassionate he is. That's really a takeaway there, that he took time out of his, because he only had a minute to respond or 2 minutes. He actually took time out in those moments to say, you know, Tim, I'm sorry to hear about your son, or to reference something that Tim talked about. And then he would go into what he said.
Yep.
So I didn't think, the funny line, that the one funny line that Chris Christie had about Vivek was that he was ChatGPT or whatever, whatever. Remember that?
Yeah.
But I didn't think that he came off as a chatbot, because he was so compassionate and just in those moments, natural and human.
Mm-hmm. 855-839-1210. If you want to jump in, we'll come back. We'll get to all of your calls after Dawn's news. And then also a little bit on Israel and Iran, as well as what's going on with this back-to-back proposal of 60-minute interviews with Donald Trump and Kamala Harris. Is last night the last that we will see and hear from these people on the national stage, short of rallies and a few interviews? We're back after this with hour number two.
Start your day with Kale and Company, weekday mornings 6 till 10 on Talk Radio 1210, WPHT, and the free Odyssey app.